It's showtime, folks. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier with you. And I think we're all just kind of dragging a little bit today. Just a heartbreaker last night at Bridgestone Arena. Predators had a two-goal lead, final 2 minutes of the game. Vancouver pulls the goaltender. Colton Sissons misses a wide-open net.
Stop it.
And why stop it?
You can't do that. You can't let that kill. That'll kill you. It's killing me, man. He makes that shot. They win.
It's over. No, well, yeah. I mean,
it's
look.
It's killing me.
But, I mean, it happened.
It happened.
You know? I'm kind of done with everybody's rules on how you feel about a certain thing. Like, I'm pissed off.
Right.
And I went home dejected last night because they blew it. They blew the game.
Yeah.
That's the only way to put it. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no, you know, oh, we played well. No, they blew the game.
I mean, that attack by Vancouver in the last 3 minutes was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. They made it 3-2. You're thinking, all right, you know what? Hold on. But you know, when they made it 3-2, I'm thinking they're gonna. I didn't think the Preds would lose. I thought it would go to overtime and they'd win. And then they get that last goal, made it 3-3. I was like, yeah, be kidding me. And then they win 4-3. It's a devastating, crushing.
Oh, it's just so bad.
And the fact we have to sit on a, we hate Mondays already. The fact we have to break this game down and talk about it on a Monday makes it even worse. But look, man, your back's against the wall now. Your season's not over. But you have to go out and play better than you've played all year long, times 10, if you want to come back here to Nashville and keep this series going.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, what just happened? I mean, that was literally my reaction sitting there at the game with my friends, and I go, what just happened?
Wait, go back. Friends?
Yeah, I paid some people.
I didn't get a text either to Dr. Crane, so I was wondering what was going on there.
Well, I was working the game.
Yeah, he was busy. That's right.
And you were, I don't know what you were doing.
I'm just around, man.
Running errands for Greg Pogue.
But let me tell you what, though. I had the tweet ready to go because you predicted at noon.
Said 4-2.
With the Preds winning on an empty netter. So I was watching when Sissons made that shot. I was like, oh, my God, because – the camera followed him around like he made the shot. I'm like, oh, my God, it's an empty netter, Chase Ford. What are the odds you call that? And then they keep playing. I'm like, why are they playing? Why didn't they stop?
Yeah. I fell for it, too. I thought that he made it, too, and was, like, hugging Ricky, and he goes, no, he missed it. I'm like, because then, like, my brain goes, hey, you don't hear the goal song.
Yeah.
Like, like, why is the goal song?
I was ready, man. I was like, what are the odds that happens? And then – they go down and punch it in 3-3 and they get it. So, you know, now you know what's at hand. You're 3-1. You cannot be the Preds, and we'll talk to Max Herz later about this. The Preds have to be mad now. You cannot be disappointed. You have to be mad and game. So go out. You're desperate now. We love desperate hockey teams. Tuesday night, go out and just do any and everything to win.
Here's my attitude. And maybe this is a good thing. Maybe this is exactly what the Predators needed. My attitude now is just how I went into this season. Hey, I have no idea how this is going to turn out, but it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like that's kind of like they got nothing to lose now.
It's just
you go to Vancouver, you get one, and you live to fight another day. You come back here, and I don't think they can win 3 in a row, but who knows? Yeah. They've proven they won 18 or 18 points or whatever, you know, a point streak. So, I mean, maybe they can, but it just like
– right.
I was so – it was just like I was sitting there. I was so excited. All right, we're going to talk about this win. We're going to talk about the draft. And tomorrow's going to be easy, and it's just going to be fun. And now everybody's in a bad mood because they blew the game. And, you know, like my favorite is – and usually I try and stay away from social media after something like this, but I just I couldn't.
Right.
Like, I saw the rabbit hole and stuck my head down in it and just was like, oh, my God, what is going on here? And my favorite is there's this one guy that replied to one of my tweets. He goes, they're just a bunch of cowards. And I'm like, how are they cowards?
Oh, like, I love that.
Like, it's just – but this is the reaction that everybody gets now. It's just like – just the roller coaster of emotions of – you know, you still got the, well, they tried their best, you know, like that, like they played well for 58 minutes and just blew it. And then
cowards.
And then you got the, they suck. They're terrible. They need to be sent off into space. So I just, I laugh at that. A bunch of cowards.
All right. So with you with that, mine was, all right, they're going to win this one. My, what if they go up there Tuesday night and steal that game up there, the 3-2? They come back here Thursday or Friday for a clincher. Nashville's going to go crazy. It's going to be so much fun. And then none of that happened. Can I also say this too real quick? What is it about, some people have said, well, the crowd didn't help them. You went to the games. Was the crowd not there?
All right.
I mean, it was loud, so, as you know what. But tell me this.
I'm Friday night, the vibe was off. I've said it, and I said I was going to say it. Like, the vibe was off Friday night. I think there were a lot of things that factored into that. It was an absolute B word getting downtown. Like, it was a pain in the ass getting downtown Friday. Okay. And usually it – I get it. You know, traffic is usually pretty bad. It took me an hour to get from the exit of the interstate to Bridgestone Arena because of the marathon and the road closures and all that stuff. So, I mean, that kind of is what it is. I don't know if you're the marathon and you go, well, the Preds are, maybe they make the playoffs every year. Maybe we move it. I don't know. I don't know what you do. There's no really good fix to that because no. There's always something going on in Nashville. So the game was 30 minutes earlier, so you're down there in the middle of rush hour, and you got road closures, so it was a pain in the ass to get to the game. So, like, I know I walked into the arena, and, like, the metal detector buzzed, and I about turned around and punched it. Like, that's and it's, like, the same people that I see every time that work the gates are like, oh, hey, you got to go this way. I'm like, I know what to do! Leave me alone!
Like, wow.
Like, it was that kind of, like, just – intense. Just,
so you're blaming the loss on the marathon.
No, I'm not blaming the loss on the marathon. I'm just saying the vibe was off.
And, I heard from some.
And then, like, people, yeah. I mean, like, people that are complaining that, oh, they didn't have run this town, or, you know, they changed this, or the hype video wasn't, I mean, look, the hype video wasn't great. I mean, but that's not why they lost the game.
Why wasn't the hype video great?
I don't know. They do their thing. Like, what? I don't know. I'm not a part of that.
But no, I'm not saying that you put it together. But in your honest opinion, why wasn't it any good?
It just didn't get me. I just feel like the ones in the past have just got me like, oh, I'm ready to run through a wall. And I just didn't feel that way.
Okay.
So, I mean, last night was better because it was an earlier game. Traffic wasn't bad. People were in there early.
Was it loud?
I thought it was loud last night.
Was it not loud Friday?
It did not seem as loud Friday.
Wow, okay. I mean, there's
you were there too.
Yeah, I will say Friday, it did not sound loud at all. But last night when I was working the game, even through the radio broadcast, it was like, oh, wow.
There were two standing ovations last night, and I don't think there was one Friday.
No.
So, but
– all these new people in
but,
town.
But, here, but here's my thing. Game ops didn't go 0-for-3 on the power play. Game ops didn't blow a 2-goal lead with 2 minutes left. You know, like, I'm not doing that whole thing. Like, right. That was the big narrative Friday. Oh, game op sucks, so the vibe sucked, and so we lost. It's like, I beg to differ there.
I will tell you this. When they made it 3-3 and they did the slow-mo and watched all the Preds players on the ice, it looked like that scene from Toy Story where Andy walks in the room and all the toys collapse over. Because there's like 19 guys who are just laying on the ice. Like, Andy walked in the room. Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. They didn't give it up, and the game ops didn't, you know, give it away in overtime. It's just, it sucks. You got beat. I mean, you right. got beat. So what that leads to our question of the day, and we love y'all's response always. What's if your favorite team? Then we did this like 6 months ago. We'll do it again though. What's the most crushing loss that your favorite team has ever had? Because I'm telling you right now, that was a crushing loss yesterday. You can spin it any way you want. You're up 3-1 in the Stanley Cup playoff at home, going back 2-2, and you give up 3 goals and you lose 4-3. I mean, that is a devastating loss. So what's one that sits with you that still irks you so long ago that your team should have won and collapsed in the end? I'm going to tell you one right now as a Tennessee football fan going back. and you don't remember this, Chase, because you're too young. 1990, up in Neyland Stadium, Tennessee. Alabama was rolling. Tennessee, I think, was the second team in the country right then. Alabama comes in. They're not playing that well, and they beat Tennessee 9-6. It was 6-6. Tennessee goes to kick a field goal to win the game. It's blocked. Bama runs it back their way. Then Philip Doyle kicks a 47-yard field goal and beats Tennessee. That kind of momentum shift in 30 seconds is that's a devastating loss. We want to hear what your devastating loss is for your favorite hockey or favorite sports team, 615-737-1025.
I mean, the easy one for me, just because I remember the emotion I had with it, was when they lost the Super Bowl. I mean, I was
– Well, you can go racing. I mean, you're a big race fan. I mean, there's got to be a race where somebody's like, they got it in varying, and they get bumped with 100 yards to go and they lose. There's got to be something. I mean, it could be anything. Soccer, it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm trying to think on how I felt. Like, I don't remember 1990 when Earnhardt blew the tire on the backstretch. And, I mean, that would have been it, probably.
Right.
And Derek Cope won.
Yeah.
I mean, he had dominated the whole race. He's half a lap away from winning his first Daytona 500, and he blows the tire. So that probably would have been it. But, I mean, the Titans losing the Super Bowl, you know, 1 yard short from potentially tying it, I'm 12 years old. I mean, I cried. Like, I was devastated, you know, as a kid. So that was one. There are others.
Any Braves losses that got you?
Yeah, getting swept by the Yankees in 99 was pretty.
Right.
You know, 96. Yeah, 96.
Yeah.
That's probably my first. That might be my first sports heartbreak that I remember.
Jim Leyritz hitting the home run.
Yeah, that was the win. Atlanta had gone up. They'd won both games in New York. They were up 2-0 coming back to Atlanta. And then the Yankees won, I think, four straight.
That's right. Yeah. It was Jeter's first season. Yeah.
That was the core four. Yep. That was in the 30. What was funny is Joe Torre's always been one of those guys that, like, I had a ton of respect for, just because he's a baseball guy, and,
right?
You know, just a good guy and stuff. And then I watched the Ken Burns baseball documentary. He did a 10th inning that started in 94, and he gets to the 96 World Series, and Torrey's in it. And Torre goes, and Steinbrenner comes in my office after, you know, before the World Series, and he goes, you know, so what do you, you know, how do you feel about this? And he goes, look, I need you to be patient. We're going to drop the first two. And he said, what? And he goes, Glavin and Maddox are going to get us the first two. But we're going to figure them out. We'll go back to Atlanta. Atlanta's my town. We'll take the two in Atlanta, and then we'll win the rest of the way. And Steinbrenner's like, you seem really confident now.
Wow.
And that's exactly what happened.
Oh, man.
And I watched that, and I was like,
that's what happened.
I want to hate you, but I can't. that would probably be up there.
Yeah, so 96. George weighs in and says the Cubs-Bartman game, 2003, with the Cubs in the playoffs. I mean, when he reaches over and gets the ball, that's one's got to be just crushing.
Cause we got some.
At the time then, because the Cubs had done really nothing except been runner-ups since, what, 1914, whatever it was. So that's one, a fan interference ruins it for you like that. So these are great, man.
Joey from Gallatin says the Saints no-call loss to the Rams to keep them out of the Super Bowl.
That was one of the worst calls ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Now, I mean, it would have been a much better Super Bowl of Saints and the Patriots than what we saw from the Rams and the Patriots, but that's just brutal.
Yeah, 2010 Game 5 at Blackhawks still stings. I heard people talking about that this morning. That was another one, like, with the Predators. Had they won that game, they probably win the series.
Was that, it was a flood game.
Maybe. That was the flood year, yeah. I mean, if they had won that series, they'd have probably been playing in Atlanta.
Yeah. You're talking about Preds.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, because a week later, the flood happened, and they were out, and Bridgestone got flooded.
Yeah, that's right. That game that day, they're in Chicago. Yeah, and so.
Oh, yeah, and I guess that was the.
I'll never forget. Channel 4, I will never forget this. Channel 4 put the hockey game on Telemundo to do weather coverage on 4. I was at Channel 2 at the time, and people went Because it was raining. Lost their you had nowhere minds. To go. I remember, didn't Martin Erat give up the puck at the very end? Yet?
Yeah, Marty kind of blew that game.
Yeah, and then people were going crazy because the game was on, and they did the quad box. So the Telemundo game's like in the top right corner. You couldn't see anything. And people are going, until they realized this flood thing's pretty damn serious.
Yeah.
It's a hockey game. Let's move on. But it was, not good.
I'll never forget. I can't remember one of the – I think it was who was it? Maybe Tutu. So all the pictures come out of the arena, and, like, you can see the bowl, like, it's full of water and all that stuff. And, you know, at the time it was, I guess, MySpace and Facebook. You know, Twitter was
– barely starting.
Was barely starting. And Steve Sullivan had posted, like, oh, man, that's what would we do? And one of his teammates commented, goes, yeah, man, you wouldn't get your head above water if we had to play in that. I just remember laughing at that. But we'll take your calls, your texts, the most devastating loss that you can remember after the Preds lose last night. Plus, we'll get into the draft. The Titans wrapped up the draft this weekend. Rand Carthon was on Robbie and Rex Road earlier this morning and talked about that. Max Herz at the bottom of the hour. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
As you went through, did you get a good feel for why he didn't play? Because obviously he played in high school, but I know a lot of guys play, you know, like left tackle in high school. They might play something else in college. But why he didn't play left tackle at Alabama in those 3 years?
Well, when he first got there and he started, they still had Evan Neal, and Evan Neal was the starting left tackle. And then after that, for them, it was a matter of just getting their best five. You know, at University of Alabama, they're always bringing in five-star linemen on both sides of the ball. And so they just felt at that time it was the best, you know, for them to be able to get their best five on the field. But like I said, regardless, have no worries, no reservations about JC.
That was Rand Carthon earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. If you missed that interview, head to thegamenashville.com or subscribe to their podcast, Robbie and Rex Road. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, taking your reaction to the draft, the Predators' loss, whatever. It's up to you guys can obviously have your voice today. A lot of stuff to get into. So overall, the rest of the draft, you know, we got to react to J.C. Latham Friday morning, and that was about it. What did you think of the draft overall? With the Titans, they filled a lot of positions of need.
Well, I go, you know, the first two rounds, these are the ones that, you know, like, all you pay attention to. After that, you're just kind of filling in guys. But I think getting Sweat out of Texas, if he can stay motivated.
They got a big boy.
Well, I mean,
two big boys, but
the red flag comes up of, is he motivated? Can he be in shape? And if he's not motivated, not in shape, it's a wasted pick. But if he is motivated and is in shape, and him and Jeffrey Simmons up front, and if he will listen to Jeffrey Simmons, work ethic, determination, passion, commitment, all those buzzwords you hear about a football player, then that's a damn good draft choice, and they're going to really clog up that middle. And, you know, people forget, a defensive lineman's job is, you know, for the most part, tackle, but secondly is to keep the guards and other linemen off the line. Let the linebackers make the play. Let the linebackers go vertical. Let the linebackers run downhill. That's the job of the defensive lineman, is to stop that. So if they can clog up the middle and free up the linebackers, holy cow, man, it's a great, great pick. So we'll have to see. So we got two questions marks now. I mean, can Latham play left tackle? We've heard from great coaches who say he can, so that should not be a concern. And now we got with Sweat. Is he determined? Is he in shape? Is he going to be ready to go? If he can do all those things, then I think the Titans have a really good 1-2 punch that they drafted in 2024.
So I started, you know, kind of reading up on the guys that I wasn't that familiar with, because I don't do the deep dive and, you know, into the draft. Like, you know, that's what I got Teron for, and other people that I can read their great work and kind of know what it is. I love Tavondre Sweat. I do. I mean, I everything you just said, I echo. You know, Jeffrey Simmons was over the moon about him, having another big boy, you know, there in the trenches with him. So I love that pick. I'm intrigued by Cedric Gray, who they ended up taking in the fourth round out of North Carolina. Seems like a good kid, smart kid. Watching, you know, some clips that people have put on Twitter and reading some analysis on him, seems like they might have found that middle linebacker they'd been looking for.
He reminds me a lot of Avery Williamson that they took.
Yeah,
smart player. You know, is he going to be an all-pro first year? Probably not.
They feel like he could wear the green dot, though, as a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, who wears the green dot here? You right now or Dr. Crane?
Dr. Crane wears it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the green dot. Okay, just making sure.
I did see his player comp was Patrick Queen, by the way. That's a good player comp.
Well, that's not bad. Yeah, so good job, Dr. Crane. No, and I think that's – look, man, they know the needs they have to put in there and they have to fill. And, you know, we've talked about this with the draft choice of whether or not this guy worked out or not. We'll find out in August, September, October what happens. But if they're confident he can come in and play and hit people, look, man, football still is a violent sport. You got to hit people. If you got a linebacker who wants to hit somebody and can play smart, that's a great steal and that's a great draft choice by them.
And then they take Brownlee out of Louisville. Jared, I know, talked to the AD at Louisville. I got a pretty good review on him. And then, Jackson, the receiver they took out of Tulane, that was Tajay Spears' roommate for all 4 years, looks like they got a return guy. And with the new kickoff rule, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So it seems – I mean, that's been a position of need for when did Derek Mason leave or when did Pac-Man leave?
2004 like, was Derek.
They had Derek, they had Pac-Man, then they had Mark Mariani, and I don't think they've had a return guy since.
I think you were correct on that.
So if Jaquan Jackson can be that, then great.
Remember when they had Taywan Taylor? I used to do a great Taywan Taylor impression out of Western Kentucky.
I liked him too.
I said, are you going to be the return again? He's like, yes, if they want me to return the ball, I'll return the ball. But, yes, I'm here to score touchdowns. And I was like, I'm telling you, man, that's dead on. That's an impression.
That's actually pretty good.
Taywan Taylor when he was over there. But he kind of fizzled out. So hopefully these guys will hit and, you know, and contribute to the football team this year, not next year or 2026, but this year to come in and play really well. But, you know, I saw some draft, you know, experts gave the Titans a B-plus in the draft. I love it because the Falcons are getting a big – very few times the team get a big fat F,
yeah,
and the Falcons got a big fat F they on should. Their draft.
I mean, look, I liked Michael Penix. I didn't like him 8th overall. That's a pick that's going to get a GM fired.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I heard the old man's voice in my head going, that's going to get him fired.
Yep.
Like, that. Like I heard Floyd's voice say that. Like, that. You know, that's a pick that gets you fired.
And right it's there. Still the video. I'm sorry. The video of him, the GM, talking to the owner about, you know, here's what we're doing. You see him, like, he turns to the left, like, we throw the arm. And it was like, oh, my gosh, man, this is not going to be well for this Falcons football team. And the fans booing left and right.
Yeah.
It's great, man.
So can I tell you my favorite thing that they do now, and Verizon's in on this, is they have the phone calls. So they have the actual audio of the phone calls. So, like, you know, the Titans put up there, you know, Rand, and, you know, Rand talks to J.C. Latham, and then – Callahan talks to him, and then of course Amy's got to talk to him too, and you know all that stuff, and like, so I love the phone calls. My favorite one is the one in Chicago. So Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, calls Caleb Williams, and Caleb, it's like, hey, who's this? It's like just playing it off, and it's just like it's so dumb, it's so fake, but I can't help but laugh at it.
You're excited over that.
Because the look on both their faces is like, who this be? Like, oh, come on now.
Like that old Budweiser commercial, what's up?
Yeah, just something like that.
I will say that the Titans, when they were doing their little Verizon little stuff, I guess you call them skits or whatever. I don't know. But
skits already.
Yeah. I mean, after they were done, after every pick, you hear them clap. Like, what was that about? That was just like choreography? Or,
like, hey, we did it. We got the pick in on time.
You know, that's what I should have texted into Robbie and Joe this morning. They had Rand Carthon. I wanted to ask, are you cognizant that the camera is on you at all times? Because I'm telling you.
Sure.
They play it up, and they know. And they know, and that's why when they traded A.J. Brown and he stood up and walked off, pissed off 2 years ago, I was like, that's one time where they forget the camera's on him, and he did it. And you know, maybe he knew the camera's on him, and he get that reaction from everybody, but I just want to know if they know the camera's on him, because I'm telling you right now, when the camera's on you, when it's not on you, it's a 180 in how you act and how you do things.
So I'm going to say this. Look, we joke and everything. I listen to him, you know, I watch him. I like Rand Carthon. I want Rand Carthon to be successful. I really do. He just seems like a genuinely good guy. And I pull for good guys because I try to be one. So, you know, people pull for me because of that. But I do. And I want – like, I look at this draft class, and I've read up on it some, and it's like, you know what? On paper, it looks like a pretty good draft class. Now, it's got to pan out. And it doesn't necessarily have to pan out this year because I don't know if this team's going to be good. You know, but this team doesn't have to be good this year. You want to be, but you don't have
to be. No. You know, we got to stop that.
Okay.
You do not go to the season hoping we'll be good. You go to the season, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm looking at this from my perspective, not their perspective. I'm giving you my opinion. You're damn right. They go into that facility and that training camp going, we're going to win the Lombardi Trophy. That's the mentality they need to have. I get to be the realist and go, all right, they filled some holes. They still got a lot of holes to fill. Like – I don't think they're going to be good. Like, I think that maybe they're an 8-win team.
How dare you?
What?
You know, talks like this aren't going to get you on the concourse at Nissan Stadium.
You're right.
I'm telling you right now. You pull back.
I screwed that up, didn't I? Oh, darn. Won't get invited to that. Anyway, we'll talk to Max Herz coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Predators lose in just heartbreaking fashion last night in overtime, 4-3, the final. We say hello now to Max Herz, who, of course, you can hear as a part of the pre- and the post-game show and the intermissions. And, Max, I got to be honest with you, with about 58 minutes into the game, about 2 minutes left, I did not think this was going to be the conversation we were having this morning, but the Canucks pull the goalie, they score two, they force overtime, Colton Sissons misses a wide open empty net before that, and the Predators fall in overtime. Just a heartbreaker.
Yeah, really tough way to go down, especially so early into overtime too. I mean, you were ready, first overtime game of the series. Like, you were ready for that thing to go miles after how it got tied late. I feel like that's how it always happens, right? When a game gets tied late, then you end up going till midnight. And I think we probably would have had to play 8 overtimes to get to midnight last night since we started at 4. But I was ready for something like that, with especially how well the Predators had played throughout the entire game and how well the Canucks played at the end to get it to overtime. Long one, but to give up a goal on the second shift of overtime is a tough way to go down. To lose both home games of the series back-to-back is a tough way to go down, and two games where you had your chances to win, especially in game 4. So the Preds have a tall task ahead, but I think if nothing else last night, they played their best game of the series despite the end and the outcome, and they showed that they can win another one in Vancouver, which is step one here.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's kind of crazy about all this. If you look at the series as a whole and watch how they have played for the most part, and yes, they've had their down moments, but so has Vancouver, the record doesn't really indicate it. And I know nobody cares about that. They just care about what the end result is. But that's what's so, I guess, confusing about this series is, you know, Bruno said before the game yesterday, they probably deserved to win Friday. With, you know, how they played, especially towards the end, Evangelista gets that goal. They certainly deserved to win last night, but they didn't. And so is it a closing problem, or is it just puck luck and the hockey gods and whatever you want to call it?
Well, I think the end of those two games, or the end of regulation of the two games this weekend, you can look at. The Preds generated the same type of scramble rebound in front chances that the Canucks did, and the Canucks got theirs to go to tie the game, and Ryan O'Reilly's hit off of Tyler Myers and didn't go in. So I guess that is puck luck in a way. I guess it's desperation. I mean, the Preds did not have their coverage down on those 5-on-6 situations. And again, it's no exact science on what's going on there. But Jay said on the postgame show, he thought the guys went down a little bit too early, the skaters did, on those goals. And, I mean, when you see Saros flopping around like he had to on all three of those goals, he shouldn't have to do that three times over in a game, that's for sure. But, I mean, the Canucks got their scrambles to go. The Preds didn't. But I thought the Preds played great last night up until the end. I thought that was their recipe to win games in the series. It was, to me, by far the best that they had looked. They had everything going. They made Schielops look not so good. He had maybe one or two nice saves, but the Preds tested him a lot. They probably deserved more than the three they got in regulation. And, just a tough one to lose for all those reasons.
Talking to Max Herz this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Max, something that we need to cannot do anymore. Fans can't do it, especially the hockey team. I'm being hearing last night, already today, man, if Colton Sissons would have made that goal, it's over. They win. I think if you lift that, if you think about that too long, Max, it dominates your thoughts. And if you're a hockey team, you can't let that dominate your thoughts when your back's against the wall Tuesday night.
Yeah, no, I don't think it will. But it wasn't an easy shot, is the other thing. Coming down on his backhand side, looked like it was a bit of a rolling puck. And, I mean, he hit the inside of the post, you know? I mean, it wasn't a bad miss. So, tough situation for a player who you know can hit that and someone who is invaluable in every way to the Preds and is the guy you want on the ice there. So, it just adds to the pain of the end of the game there. But, no, I'm with you, Joe.
All right, so I like asking Hal Gill this question every time he's on. First 10 minutes tomorrow night when they hit the ice, what do you need to see from the Predators to show that they've put that game four loss behind them?
Well, I think it's just the same type of start that they've had. And I think their starts have been good really across the board this series. The starts in Vancouver were a lot of fun because the Canucks were taking runs at them. The crowd was in it. And the Preds just kind of stood tall and stood over them and said, hey, we're here. They picked up a goal early on in the first period in both of those games. One of them was really early in game two. And I think it's going to be that same type of start. And as we saw at lots of different times throughout this end of the season, the more desperate team is probably going to be the better team. The Preds are going to be in an elimination game here. So I think they're going to come out with the desperation that the Canucks can't match. And based on the fact that they've already been starting well, I think they'll be able to have a good start back on the road.
Yeah, that was my next question. It's like, we need to turn this disappointment immediately into being mad, into being angry that they lost that game the way they did, and go out and show the world, like, hey, that's not how we play hockey, how game four ended. We got to be mad. And I'm thinking, Max, if they don't come out mad and a little pissed off, it's over. The series is over.
Yeah. Oh, and I think they will. But I think they've been a little mad all series, too. And I think the playoff villains have emerged exactly how they should in this series. I mean, who could cast better playoff villains than Nikita Zadorov and Dakota Joshua? Like, those guys have been great as the playoff villain in their roles. And then on the Preds side, the entire fourth line has been making everybody angry. Jason Zucker has done a great job rattling Quinn Hughes up. So I think they're going to turn that to another level facing elimination. But going back into Vancouver where you get to be the villain, I think it sets up perfectly for exactly what you're hoping for.
We're talking to Max Herz, pre- and post-game host for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Tommy Novak was still in last night. The only change was Dante Fabbro coming in for the injured Spencer Stastny. I'll start with Novak. What did you think about him? Do you still think that Bruno might consider some changes with the forwards, or do you think that Novak played well enough last night to stay in, even though he's kind of been slow going during this series?
Yeah, I think it's 50-50 would be my guess right now on whether or not Novak gets replaced. And I also think, if I can add another leg to the parlay, I think it's 50-50 whether it would be Cody Glass or Yusuf Parsonen to go in for him. So, I wish I had a better answer than giving you two 50-50 coin flips, but I could see both of those going either way. I could see Novak staying in, and if he comes out, I could see either Glass or Parsonen going in for him based on what exactly they're looking for and whether or not they're going to keep the combinations the same around them. That's kind of the first big coaching decision for the Preds this series, so yeah. We'll see.
what did you think about Fabro's performance?
I thought he was fine. I felt like, I don't know, I felt like they didn't have, like, full regular shifts for him, and some of that was Yossi missed a chunk of the first period. Some of that was also how much they like to load up Yossi and McDonough. But I'll definitely praise Fabro big picture. To go back and forth between healthy scratch and top pair with Roman Yossi for pretty much the entire second half of the season here, that's kind of a weird way to live in the NHL. And I think he handled it as well as you possibly could. So I think he played well. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the lineup in his hometown. I know he'll be relishing that. So definitely a seventh defenseman you can trust as he goes right on to top pair minutes.
Yeah, no doubt. Max, appreciate it. Safe travels to Vancouver, and we will talk to you tomorrow night from British Columbia.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Looking forward to being there, and we'll see everybody back here later this week.
That's Max Herz, pre- and post-game. Again, we'll have Predators playoffs tonight, tomorrow starting at 6, and then the pregame show at 8, leading into game number 5 from Vancouver. Joe, our question of the day, we'll get back to that next.
Well, with the Nashville Predators losing the way they did yesterday, if your favorite team, the one loss that your favorite team suffered, so heartbreaking that devastated you, like the Nashville Predators yesterday, we want to hear from you. 615-737-1025, the most crushing loss your favorite team ever suffered.
We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game.
Hey! What's just lying around?
Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
War's over, man. Wermer dropped the big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
Baby,
I feel better just hearing the song.
It's not over.
It's not over.
Blutarski has spoken. It's not over until it's over. So now we put the loss behind us. You move forward.
Help me out. Who did this song?
The Gap Band, right?
The Gap Band. Yeah. That's it.
So our question today at 615-737-1025. Most heartbreaking, crushing, devastating loss you've ever suffered as a sports fan. On your favorite, it could be soccer, it could be racing, it could be tennis. It doesn't matter what it is. We had a lot of responses rolling in today after that crushing, devastating loss of the Predators.
Logan on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, says, Falcons fan, Super Bowl 51, don't need to elaborate any further. No.
I mean, think about that. I mean, we all watch that.
That has to be. That might be like the worst of all time.
In the greatest game, the biggest game in America, and you're down. You're up 28-3.
Yeah. Ooh. Here's a really good one that I didn't think of, but like if you're a fan of one of these teams, 2513, UNC Villanova championship game, when Jenkins hits the shot. I sat there with my hands on my head. Still to this day, I can't watch the replays of it. I also question why no one picked him up as soon as he crossed half court.
Good one.
So, yeah, because like it looked – remember everybody on Twitter was going nuts about UNC of like this guy's going to be on a poster or whatever, and then the heartbreak.
The best part of that game when Villanova beat UNC was somebody photoshopped the crying Jordan on the basketball as it was going in, and Jordan was at the game. So let me ask you this. What's worse – the Falcons loss to the Patriots or the Kentucky loss to Duke in 92 with Leitner's shot? I mean, you could see both. I think the Super Bowl is bigger, but as far as a long-lasting effect.
Yeah, but any Kentucky fan's going to tell you that one.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, it's.
And, like, okay, now here's the interesting part of this.
Okay.
And I'm – because I'm neutral. I'm neutral to both. So this is just the ultimate how I look at it. That is a devastating way to lose a game. Like, last second shot, just throws up a prayer and it goes in, and Kentucky loses the game.
Yeah.
But do you really feel guilty or feel bad for Kentucky? Because Kentucky's – they've won. They've won it before. They've had – now, so has Duke.
Yeah. I mean, for those 10 guys on that team or 12, whatever it is. Yeah,
sure, but, like, bad. For the fan, like it's easy for me to look at – like, the Falcons hadn't won anything. And have been in two Super Bowls and lose one to Elway. And weren't they kind of winning in that game, too?
They were not.
They got blown out. Yeah, that was the blowout. Okay. Yeah, so they get there.
and with Dan Reeves, like great Dan Reeves, and then 28-3. Like, it's just like. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's a good question because I think if the Preds get swept and they lose every game 5-0, it's like, hey, we weren't in it. We were not the better team. But this is devastating. I mean, this is crushing you because at some point you've been the better team in this series against Vancouver. And yesterday you were the better team for 57 minutes and 18 seconds. You were the better hockey team. But in the end, only one thing matters. Did you win? And you did not win.
Yeah, and if you're the Falcons in 28-3, you basically just handed the you just solidified that Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. Like, that's what you did.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody kind of knew it already
yep.
at that point. But you just cemented him as the GOAT.
Yeah, and along the way, there are things, iconic play, like the Edelman catch where the ball's literally 2 inches off the ground. Things that make legends come out of all those things. And that's – you're up 28-3, and you blow it that way. And that's – as a Falcon fan, I mean, they're still not over that and probably never will be. But
you know what's crazy to think about? Brady should have – now, there's two, obviously, that jump out at me, but Brady should really have 5 Super Bowls and not 7.
Yeah, well, I mean –
because 28-3 and then if
– Seattle.
And then Seattle.
Yep.
Like, think about that.
Yeah, you're right.
Now the 28-3 he earned because he led that comeback. Seattle was just luck.
That was pure luck.
Like if you watch the Man in the Arena doc, he's on the sideline like well, try again next year.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He basically his like response is, wait, what did they just do?
he can't believe it. I like about that, and this has nothing to do with what we're talking about crushing loss, but the walk through the day before. Have you seen this video, the practice video, the walk through the day before? Belichick says, hey, let's run this play on defense just in case they run this play, and that was that play.
Oh, yeah.
And Butler steps in and does it. Yeah. You're like, all right, practice is over.
Yeah.
And they're like, we never thought they would do it.
Yeah.
So Malcolm Butler says, when they lined that formation, he goes, I knew exactly what they were going to do, which allowed, if you watch, he starts walking up into the zone before the receiver gets there.
So bad.
Was it not? I mean, at that point, nobody's stopping Marshawn Lynch from a yard out.
But,
nobody.
By the way, I don't know if you watched any of the McAfee stuff. Belichick was fantastic. Was absolutely fantastic. But, I mean, if Belichick never coaches again and does TV, like he and Saban both, like they have their next careers.
Don't watch McAfee because he blocked me on Twitter because he's too soft, so I don't watch him.
Okay.
But yeah. Well, I have to somehow make it about me if I can.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I told you, in our dealings with Belichick, seeing him around Nashville, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's not this gruff, grumpy guy that you get to see on TV all the time. He really is an interesting dude. I mean, really is. And, I watched part of that. I think it was really good.
Joshua wants to weigh in on bad loss. Josh, what's up?
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on.
Yeah, I know this ain't a last-second loss, but 2018, my Braves got back in it against the Cardinals in the NLDS. I'm at my buddy's house, and we had the game on record, left the party to come back and watch the Braves win, and I get in there and turn it on, and the Cardinals are winning 10-0.
Yeah, I remember
And my
that.
Heart just sank. I turned it off and went outside.
Yep.
And then they did. They never got back in. I was just throwing that one out there.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thanks, Joshua.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me down. I remember.
See, as a Braves fan growing up in the 80s, we didn't have this, so I'm really jealous of the new Braves fans like yourself because the Braves were god-awful. So the only losses we do is when, you know, Steve Bedrosian would come in and blow a game or Paul Ostenmacher would come in and blow a game. So you lived – if you finish 18 games out, it was fine. We didn't really have that passion for winning or losing.
Andrew said, when Algie Crumpler fumbled on the 2-yard line against the Ravens in 08, oh, how I hate those rat birds.
That was tough.
That was a pretty big one.
Going in for the score in the far corner of the end zone from the press box.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough.
Mark in Paris says, the fumble against Oakland.
Was that the kickoff?
Maybe.
John, oh, my God. The AFC Championship game, he fumbled the kickoff, and then Fisher promptly benched him, and he was never on
the – Oh, yeah. Oh, was that a –
John, what's his name?
John Simon?
John Simon.
Yeah.
Good job, buddy. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. David, one word, Leitner, not only a loss, but your bitter rival in Leitner should have been thrown out of that game.
I don't know about that.
I don't
But I do know that Patino said from that moment on, the biggest mistake he made was not guarding the pass, the inbound pass.
Wes in Clarksville, Titans AFC Championship game against the Chiefs.
I mean, look, you were there. I was there. Chiefs weren't going to lose that game.
No, not even at with all. Even when the actually when the Titans went up 10-0, I was like, this. I looked at Floyd and Jared and was like, this isn't good.
No. They just got more fired up. Yeah.
My favorite part of that game, though, I will never forget this as long as I live. So, you've been in the Chiefs press box, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's kind of small and everything. So, I'm on the back row and I'm sitting next to Floyd. John Robinson is directly in front of Floyd. And so I start kind of watching. I'm watching Floyd, and Floyd's got his little notepad. And I look down at J-Rob. He's got his little notepad. And as soon as a play would happen, both of them at the same time would go, right through notes. And it was like I was watching clones of each other. Bad play would happen. They'd both, you know, hit the desk and – Floyd's like, dadgummit, like, what is he doing on that? And I hear J-Rob muttering the same thing. Like, that I was watching them more than I was watching the game.
Oh, good.
Like, I will never forget that.
I'm glad your memory is of an iconic man that we all loved. Where mine was, I've never been as cold in my life as I was at Arrowhead Stadium.
Did you have to
game.
Shoot it? Were
yeah.
you shooting it?
No, we were out. We had all the pre- and post-game stuff out in the parking lot. And it was absolutely – even the van on full blast, you were still cold.
That's right. You and I did a – we did a show, didn't we? Yeah, from one of the bars there.
Yeah, that's right.
Kansas City.
Yeah, which was great. I mean, I was – after we were done – look, here's what – and if Zach, if you're listening out there, you'll know this night. I had concocted in my drink the perfect margarita. I mean, it was perfect. It was all this tequila, but it tasted so good. And a girl turned around and bumped into me, and it went all over her, and I spilt it. And there's a picture of me right after that, and the look of just sheer disgust on my face when this tequila was dropped was something that was – it's like the Mona Lisa to me, man.
Listen, if somebody bumps into you at a bar, and they're clearly not paying attention, and they get the drink spilt on them
– yeah.
That is what I call justice.
And I had
that is absolute justice.
And I had it in a giant Chick-fil-A cup, which was even better, and she knocked it out of my hand. And
nice.
The girl that knocked it out of my hand, she lives here in Nashville, and you know who you are. Mm-hmm. So one day you have to pay up.
Yeah, you owe him a margarita. We'll get more into the Predators' loss and also the draft. 615-737-1025. That's coming up in hour number two. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game.